George was a military man from a military family. He was the third of four sons, and each of the brothers had served the crown in battle. But unlike his three brothers who served on land, George was at home on the open sea. He was posted to the HMS Wellesley by the age of 16 and began a steady climb up the ranks. He built a career as a naval officer and was known to be sharp, consistent, and a stickler for details. If there was ever any sort of training exercise or military operation to be prepped for, George Tryon was the man they wanted in charge. Much of his career was spent in the Mediterranean, and when he was finally promoted to Vice Admiral, that's where he remained. And then, in June of 1893, he began to prepare for another training exercise. It's what he was good at, and it's something that he loved. He loved the challenge of pushing his crew, and the task of planning the maneuvers that each massive battleship would repeat. The mission this time was actually pretty simple. George Tryon was in command of the HMS Victoria, the flagship of the entire Mediterranean fleet, and was joined by another, the HMS Camperdon. Together, they were supposed to travel parallel to each other away from the shore, and then turn toward each other to make simultaneous U-turns, and then travel back. Naturally, a crowd had gathered to watch the two battleships there off the coast. These battleships were modern marvels, and to see them move so nimbly was a treat for everyone there. Then, Tryon gave the orders, and the ship maneuvers began. Like I said, this was a simple exercise, but it did have some requirements. The biggest was space. For both ships to turn toward each other in the middle of their U-turns, they needed to be at least 1,500 meters apart. But as they moved into position for their turn, it was clear that they weren't. In fact, the distance between the ships was barely two-thirds of what they needed. But the maneuver continued unchecked. Part of the reason was Tryon's confidence in his planning, but another element was his approach to the mission. He kept all of the details secret from his crew, because he wanted to see how they would perform on the spot with no time to prepare. Real combat, he said, never went exactly according to plan. So the ships turned. As they did, the crew noticed right away that there wasn't enough room. The captain of the Camperdon hesitated, but Tryon ordered him to continue as planned. Reluctantly, the man did. By the time Tryon admitted that the ships were too close together, it was too late. The Camperdon slammed nose first into the side of the Victoria, and then her engines reversed and they pulled apart, leaving a massive hole in the side of Tryon's battleship. The sea rushed in, and before anything could be done, she began to sink. The Camperdon would later need 3 months of repairs to be seaworthy again, but the Victoria fared far worse. The flagship toppled over and sank within minutes. Over 350 lives were lost, including Vice Admiral George Tryon. And all of it happened in front of a crowd gathered on the shore. It was the last time anyone saw George Tryon alive. Well, sort of. You see, back home in Eaton Square in London, on that very same afternoon, Tryon's wife was hosting a gathering at their home. Dozens of people were there, enjoying food and drink and conversation. They talked politics. They gossiped about local nobility. They discussed Tryon's career in the military and his current whereabouts in the Mediterranean Sea. And then, while everyone was watching, George Tryon walked into the room. Everyone saw him, but it seemed as if Tryon himself didn't see them. His eyes were focused on something else, something off in the distance. He stood there for a few moments, the center of everyone's attention and the source of many curious questions. And then, right before their eyes, he vanished.